Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashodha Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udhirayet. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Hare Krishna, good morning. Today's verse is text 6 of chapter 16, canto 3, the chapter titled Jayan Vijay, Cursed by the Sages. Yasya Mrita Malayasha Shravanavagaha. Yasya Mrita Malayasha Shravanavagaha. Sadhya Punati Jagad Ash Vapachad Vikunta. Soham Bhavadya Upalabdha Sutirtha Kirtish. Soham Bhavadya Upalabdha Sutirtha Kirtish. chindyam svabahum apiva pratikula vrittim. Chindyam svabhahum apiva pratikula vrittim. Please chant. Shravanavagaha. Shvapachadvikunta. Soham bhavadya upalabdha sutirtha kirtish. Chindyam svabahum apiva pratikula vrittim. Yasya mrita malayasya shravanavagaha. Sadya punati jagad ashva pachad vikunta. Soham bhavadya upalabdha sutirtha kirtish. Chindyam svabahum apiva pratikula vrittim. Ladies. Vitayasha shravanavagaha. Dhyapunati jagad ashva pachad vikunta. Soham bhavadya upalabdha sutirtha kirtish. Chindyam svabahum apiva pratikula vrittim. Yes. Sashravanavagaha. Sadhya punati jagad ashva pachad vikunta. Soham bhavadya upalabdha sutirtha kirtish. Apiva pratiku. Yasya, of whom? Amrita, nectar, amala, uncontaminated. Yasha, glories. Shravana, hearing. Avagaha, entering into. Sadhya, immediately. Punati, purifies. Jagat, the universe. Ashva pachat, including even the dog eaters. Vikunta, without anxiety. Sa, that person. Aham, I am. Bhavadbhya, from you. Upalabdha, obtained. Sutirtha, the best place of pilgrimage. Kirti, the fame. Chindyam, would cut off. Svabahum, my own arm. Api, even. Va, towards you. Pratikula vrittim, acting inimically. Translation: anyone in the entire world, even down to the chandala, who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of the dog, is immediately purified if he takes bath and hearing through the ear the glorification of my name, fame, etc. Now you have realized me without doubt. Therefore, I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if its conduct is found hostile to you. Purport. Real purification can take place in human society if its members take to Krishna consciousness. This is clearly stated in all Vedic literature. Anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness in all sincerity, even if he is not very advanced in good behavior, is purified. A devotee can be recruited from any section of human society, although it is not expected that everyone in all segments of society is well behaved. As stated in this verse in many places in Bhagavad Gita, even if one is not born in a Brahmana family, or even if he is born in a family of Chandalas, if he simply takes to Krishna consciousness, he is immediately purified. In Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, verses 30 to 32, is clearly stated that even though a man is not well behaved, if he simply takes to Krishna consciousness, he is understood to be a saintly person. As long as a person is in this material world, he has two different relationships in his dealings with others. One relationship pertains to the body, and the other pertains to the spirit. As far as bodily affairs or social activities are concerned, although a person is purified on the spiritual platform, it is sometimes seen that he acts in terms of his bodily relationships. If a devotee born in the family of a chandala, the lowest caste, is sometimes found engaged in his habitual activities, he is not to be considered a chandala. In other words, a Vaishnav should not be evaluated in terms of his body. The Shastra states that no one should think the deity in the temple to be made of wood or stone, and no one should think that a person coming from a lower caste family who has taken to Krishna consciousness is still of the same low caste. These attitudes are forbidden because anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness is understood to be fully purified. He is at least engaged in the process of purification. And if he sticks to the principle of Krishna consciousness, he will very soon be fully purified. The conclusion is that if one takes to Krishna consciousness with all seriousness, he is to be understood as already purified. And Krishna is ready to give him protection by all means. The Lord assures herein that he is ready to give protection to his devotees, even if there is a need to cut off part of his own body. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasvai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Vaschityate Shutarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vebhacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. I'd like to request the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present before attempting to speak on this wonderful verse. Before getting into this really beautiful purport and the statement that totally caught me by surprise, therefore I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if his conduct is found hostile to you. I mean, it was just so incredible reading this. I couldn't believe it that I even Googled the word lop. Did he really mean cut off? Yes. But I want to just share my fascination with this pastime, because the whole Leela is very interesting. In one sense, it's very simple, it's very relatable because it's not black and white. There's a lot of gray area going on here. And sometimes someone can argue that the pastimes or examples given in Shastra may seem very distant or unrelatable. You may have a five-year-old child who goes into the forest and does so much penance, the whole universe starts to shake. And you think, okay, well then I'm so much older than 5 years old and I don't have that ability. Where is this? How can I relate to a pastime like that in a very direct way? Yet, here, what's happening is that there is two parties and there's seemingly a misunderstanding. There's a bit of a quarrel. And you could actually, we could sit here and split the room in half if we did some kind of exercise around this and have a debate. Who's in the right? Who's in the wrong? And you, one side can make a very compelling argument for Jaya and Vijay, and one side can make a very compelling argument for the Kumaras. And that's very fascinating, very interesting, because a lot of times in our own life, when there is a quarrel, a misunderstanding, it's something like this. It's not always black and white. You know, for example, we may offend someone, but feel like it wasn't an intentional offense. We were just doing our service. Like I remember when the COVID pandemic was happening, and the temple had reopened, perhaps one of the first temples in North America to reopen. Myself and my friend had the service to stand at the front over there and tell devotees to make sure they wore a mask and that we have certain guidelines going on right now at the temple. And most people were okay with it, but there's always a few who are a little bit upset. And I remember on Radhashtami, we had to keep the line moving. There were so many devotees that wanted to take special darshan of Srimati Radharani, but we wanted to keep the line moving. Probably offended a few people who wanted to stay a little bit longer and take a longer time soaking in this darshan, but we had to keep it moving. Easily, I could have said, it's just, I'm doing my service. Why is someone getting offended? This is, don't you know, I'm following the rules. This is just the rules. This is the policy that's here, and I'm the one enforcing it. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just doing my job. Right? So I don't have malicious intent. On the other hand, you could be the other person and say, well, I feel slighted by somebody else. And all I wanted to do was see the Lord. All I wanted to do was take a little bit longer darshan, which I feel qualified enough to do. I've come to the temple so many times in previous festivals. All of a sudden, I'm being barred or stopped or moved forward or whatever the scenario might be. You see where I'm getting at? It's a very common example where both parties feel they did nothing wrong, yet some misunderstanding is there. And what's very fascinating is how Lord Narayan addresses this issue. He doesn't, you know, say two negatives cancel out, they're offended, misunderstanding here, let the whole thing be. Because he recognizes that actually an aparad was committed. One of his devotees feels offended. At the other hand, there was a reaction that was too extreme. There was a curse, and one of my devotees was cursed. And so in an interaction between devotees, if there is an offense made, if there is some reaction that's unsavory, it's best to deal with it in a proper way, rather than just move on like nothing ever happened at all. And Lord Narayan shows this here, this very tactful, diplomatic, sweet, loving way of how he deals with a scenario that pleases both devotees, that pleases the Kumaras, it pleases Jaya and Vijay. It actually offers his mercy to both of them in a special way that's needed in a different way for both parties. So we know we've heard in the previous chapter so much what's happened, the offense that was made, the curse that was given, how Lord Narayan comes in the 15th chapter. He doesn't yet speak, but just his darshan that the Kumaras wanted, he gives them this, his darshan. And the aroma of the tulsi leaves, it makes them Vaishnava, it makes them devotees. They become Bhagavan realized at this point. And at that moment when they are taking the darshan, they're taking in the scent of the tulsi leaves and the lotus feet of the Lord, they start to realize, perhaps I made a mistake. Perhaps I was rash, and these are two Vaishnavas, dear servants of the Lord, that I cursed. Maybe I was thinking of myself. So what's so fascinating in this chapter is Narayan speaks, and I'm thinking, what is he going to say? How is he going to reprimand this? And I thought, before reading it, oh, maybe he's going to side with Jai and Vijay. But it seemingly, quote unquote, seemingly seems as if he's siding with the Kumaras here. So I want to go through a little bit of how he deals with each party individually and helps them realize the correct realization and give them what they need. So when he first responds to the Kumaras, he praises them. And he says, you are now definitely devotees. He calls them devotees, and he seeks out their forgiveness. And this was explained a couple of verses ago when Madhumati Mataji gave class, that the Lord, he takes responsibility for the offense. He says, there are my representatives, Jai and Vijay. They're my representatives. And because they're my representatives, I take blame, essentially, that it's actually my offense. So please, I beg forgiveness to the Kumaras. I beg forgiveness from you for my offense. And it's such a powerful point, because being a representative of the Lord, being a devotee of the Lord, is no joke. You really, it's as if there's a company, if there's a business, and there's a customer service representative, and they snap at a customer, and they have an interaction, the customer is not happy. Who is to take the blame? They are, but so is the owner. The owner is to take the blame as well. It's their responsibility now to issue an apology to that customer, try to rectify things. So it's actually a very intimate relationship when you're a representative of something, of someone. So here we are, being a representative of the Lord, and not just directly, but through a lineage, representatives of so many exalted Vaishnavas. So if you committed offense, not only does the Lord have to take the blame and the burden of that offense, but all the Guru Parampara leading up in our Vaishnav Sampradaya, they are also representatives, and they take this burden of the offense that we commit. So an offense is a very, very serious thing. And so here in Narayan, he's showing that directly by saying, I take the blame, and indirectly by saying exactly this, that this is a very serious thing as a Vaishnava to commit an offense, that the person you are trying to serve has to take the burden of your mistake. And so when we come to this verse, text number 6, he does something very interesting, and Madhumati Mataji was stating a couple days ago how Krishna both says things in a direct and indirect way. And this is his amazing ability to do both. And so he's stating here to the Kumara, certainly you're my devotee. And he says, now you have realized me without a doubt. It's very direct. That you're my devotee, and therefore I protect you. I'm here to offer you protection. And not just any protection. I will go to any extent to protect you. In fact, I'll cut off my own arm to protect you. That's how much I care about my devotees. So he's telling the Kumaras, forgive me, I'll protect you. I accept this curse, I understand it, and I sanctify it. It's okay, I think it's a good idea, and I'm giving you protection. But in saying this, he's doing something very interesting. He's indirectly stating that if I protect my devotee, and he's telling the Kumaras who have only become devotees in the last few minutes, who have become Bhagavan realize, I protect my devotees, the Kumaras then start to understand, oh, what about Jai and Vijay? They've been the personal servants of the Lord for so long. They've been devotees for so long. So if he protects, if the Lord is protecting me, who's been a devotee for a few minutes in this sense, then what about Jai and Vijay, who've been a devotee for so long? How dear they must be to the Lord. How dear they must be. And here I am, I curse them to leave this service. I've made a grave mistake. Do you see the what's happening here? And it's very beautiful because he could easily have chastised Jaya, the Kumaras. He could have said, these devotees have been devotees for so long. Yes, I understand the offense was made, but don't you know how long they've been devotees for? But he recognizes the sensitivity of this issue. Jaya, or the Kumaras have just already been stopped by to see the Lord. They're already hurt in this way. He doesn't want to add more pain onto that. In fact, he's trying to give mercy. So he came out himself to give darshan because he sees the desire of a devotee. They want to see me. They've been stopped. They've been hurt. I'm going to address this in a compassionate way. Yet I'll still teach the lesson in such a way that they come to the conclusion themselves. They realize it. And when you come to a conclusion yourself, sometimes it's more powerful than being told. Now, if I tell you surrender unto Krishna, it may not come across fully. You know, it may not really touch your heart compared to perhaps if you have a near-death experience and you realize in that moment, I need to surrender unto Krishna. Then you have an experience, a real realization. You come to the conclusion on your own. So in this way, he's giving the opportunity. This is part of his mercy. He's giving the opportunity to the Kumaras to come to this conclusion on their own. So it's very diplomatic, as you can see. It's very diplomatic, and it's very beautiful and tactful how he responds to them. And so the question could be, you know, still, who is the winner? Who is in the right? Who is in the wrong? Who is Narayan siding with? Is he siding with somebody? And his answer is almost so interesting. It's so sweet, but a little bit complex and a little bit subtle, that after Lord Narayan speaks, the Kumaras say, we don't know if you're trying to reprimand us or glorify us. It's so amazing what you're saying, but we almost are having a little bit of difficulty understanding it. And later on, we see how Lord Narayan, he sanctifies this curse. Take a birth in the material world, 3 lifetimes as demons. But then we also understand that Jaya and Vijay, their only prayer is, my dear Lord, we never want to forget you. This is the real prayer and desire of a devotee, no matter the circumstance. We'll accept that anything, even if we go to hell, we just don't want to forget you. Please let us remember you. And so if we look at this curse, seemingly curse, it's actually a blessing in disguise. Srila Jiva Goswami explains in the Pratisandarbha that the devotional intimacy between the Lord and his gatekeepers was actually greater than that of the Lord and the Kumaras, because he granted them more intimate service and remembrance than the Kumaras who received this one darshan. Here, now the gatekeepers, this is Krishna's real protection. This is when Narayan says, I'll chop off my arm to protect my devotee. What is he protecting? And externally, he's sending them to the material world as demons. Is this really, you can say, is this really protection? But the real protection is to protect the devotional creeper of a devotee, is to protect the desire to always remember Krishna 24/7. This is real protection. And when we have a desire to remember him, and Lord Narayan says in this verse, that anyone, even down to the chandala, who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of a dog, is immediately purified if he takes a bath and hearing through the ear of the glorification of my name and fame, etc. So by this hearing process, we develop an attachment to the Lord. We want to keep hearing about him. We want to keep remembering about him. And this grows, it matures, it fructifies. And this pleases Krishna so much because all he wants is for us to remember him, for us to come towards him. For millions and millions and millions of lifetimes, we've forgotten him. And he, now we have this opportunity, we have a desire that I want to remember you, my Lord. And he's so pleased by this that he says, I'll do anything to protect that. That's the protection I'll offer. And he shows this practically, that yes, there was an uprod made, there was an offense made, and therefore there has to be something done about that, that cannot go unrestricted. However, he recognizes that they are devotees, and it was an accident. They were trying to do their service. And so it's a blessing in disguise. I'll protect you by giving you this intimate service of fighting with me and remembering me constantly. And then, as it is with Krishna's pastimes, there's so many layers, and it's explained in Madhurya Kadambini that actually Jaya and Vijaya had a desire, because they're very intimate devotees of the Lord. They understand that he has a chivalrous nature, a desire to engage in some fighting, some combat. Can't really happen in Vaikuntha. So they thought, well, if I ever had the opportunity, if the Lord desires, I would love to render this service to him. His desire is fulfilled. And there's so many things that actually go into this lila that show that the Lord always fulfills desires and gives just what everybody needs. Right? He gave just what the Kumaras needed at that point. He gave just what Jaya and Vijaya needed. So I want to dive a little bit more into this verse and the potency of devotional service. It says, anyone in the entire world, even down to the chandala, just by hearing the glorification of my name, is immediately purified. And if you're not familiar with it, the chandala caste, it's really a casteless sector of old society. It's actually a very large statement to say even the chandala is immediately purified by bathing in the hearing of my glories. I mean, the chandala class is, they work in disposing of dead bodies. They're not allowed to enter anywhere where there's any religious sacrifice or religious performance. They're outcasts from society. They're known as untouchables. I mean, you can imagine calling a human an untouchable, that they're so animalistic, or it's such an inhumane statement actually to think that way. Someone by their birth and their class in society, that they're so low, you can't even touch them because that you'll become impure. And they're very segregated. There's, from a material point of view, there's no rectification in their current lifetime to become pure in any way. There's nothing they can do that can purify them. But from a devotional point of view, just by, and I love this statement, bathing and hearing through the ear the glorification of my name, my fame, my pastimes. Because a dirty person, you would say, to clean themselves, they need to become bathed, they need to take a bath, they need to take a shower. But it said, from a materialistic point of view, this person cannot even take a bath to purify themselves. But the Lord's saying, what actually will purify them, what's the most purifying activity, is the process of shravanam, is the process of hearing. And the process of devotional service has the ability that even the lowest caste of human within the materialistic society, that's only a material designation. Actually, by hearing my name, fame, and glories, they can become more purified than those in a Brahmana caste. That those are material designations, but the real designation comes from he who practices devotional service. Srila Prabhupada states in the very first line of the purport, real purification can take place in human society if its members take to Krishna consciousness. I mean, what an amazing statement. It's basically disregarding any material designation that's there, and the purification processes to become higher or lower in society, none of these matter. The real purification process, the real transformative experience and transformative agent is hearing about my name, fame, glories, pastimes. This can actually transform a human being. This is the real deal. And I was thinking, and the last weekend was, or this past weekend was a celebration of the 20-year anniversary of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's disappearance. And I was remembering, we had a youth retreat a few years ago in Gita Nagari, and one of Maharaj's disciples, Buddha Bhavana Prabhu, was present. And he said that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had told him that you should hear Krishna Katha and study Srimad Bhagavatam in such a way that you're able to apply it to yourself and teach it to others. And I thought that was a very practical way of this bathing and hearing. What is bathing and hearing? Yes, okay, you can see the visual. Just like you're immersed in water, you're immersed in spiritual transcendental sound vibration. But really bathing in it and really becoming cleansed by it, getting in all the corners and cleaning in a bath that comes from applying what's being heard in Srimad Bhagavatam, and then teaching it to others as well. Not just the Bhagavatam itself is telling us and teaching us compassion to others. Therefore, we hear, we cleanse ourselves, we apply what's being said, and we teach others. I want to give an example of the Lord protecting his devotee in a very physical way. This description here is so vivid, where the Lord says, I will not hesitate to lop off my own arm if his conduct is found hostile to you. And I was thinking of the pastime of Srila Haridas Thakur, and how when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken the beatings that Srila Haridas Thakur had experienced in the marketplace. Srila Haridas Thakur was going against the words of the Qazi, and the Qazi was very upset about this, and he declared that to punish Srila Haridas Thakur, I want to publicly ordain his beating in 22 marketplaces of this town. And why a marketplace? This is the public gathering space at the time, the marketplace. So he wants to make a public statement. Anyone who goes against the words of the Qazi, the words of what he thinks is religious, they will experience what Haridas is experiencing. They will be beaten to death. And then he said, it's religious because if Haridas passes away, then in the name of religion, he'll be purified. This is okay. It's ordained. It's all right. And if somehow he survives, then maybe what he's saying about chanting the holy name, maybe he has some truth there. So he told his guard, start. And it's very brutal, the description. I mean, in marketplace to marketplace, severe, severe beatings. And the pious people were watching. They were begging the guards, please stop or spare his life. This is not right. This will be the downfall of your kingdom. What are you doing? But the Qazi said, keep going. We're gonna show a lesson. We're gonna teach everybody that this is the punishment that happens. And what was Haridas Thakur's response? I mean, he was beaten so mercilessly in the marketplace, but the whole time he was chanting in ecstasy. He was so ecstatic chanting the holy names. It was so intense and absorbed. He was so absorbed in chanting, he felt no pain. And really, the pinnacle comes to, as he was being beat in the marketplaces, that he prayed. He prayed for the guards. He was so compassionate. He wasn't just tolerant, but he was so compassionate. He prayed, O Krishna, be merciful unto these living entities. Forgive their offense of torturing me. Forgive their offense of beating me. That's his mindset. That's his prayer as he's being beaten in each marketplace. He was more concerned for their sinful reactions, for their aparad, than he was for his own welfare of his body. So if you fast forward a little bit more, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he then speaks to Haridas Thakur, and it's so endearing what he says, and it's so much in line with what Lord Narayan is saying here, that he will not hesitate to chop off his own arm to protect his devotees. I wanted to read this from Chaitanya Bhagavat. You are more dear to me, speaking to Haridas Thakur, you are more dear to me than my own body. I certainly belong to the same caste of you. Listen, when I remember how much distress the Yavanas gave you, my heart breaks. Listen, Haridas, when the Yavanas beat you in the various villages, I saw your distress and descended from Vaikuntha with the disc in my hand in order to cut everyone into pieces. Yet, you desired the well-being of those who tortured you almost to death. You ignored how severely you were beaten and desired their well-being. When you desired their benefit, I was unable to use my power against them. My disc became powerless because of you, because of your resolve. I could not sever their heads. When I saw how severely they were beating you, I covered your back. I then took the beating on my own body. Here are the marks. I am not speaking a lie. Besides the other indirect reasons that made me appear, I came quickly because I could not tolerate your distress. My Nada properly recognized you, for Advaita has completely bound me with his love. The Lord is expert in glorifying his devotees. What is there that he does not say or do for the sake of his devotees? For the sake of his devotees, the Lord eats blazing fire, and out of his sweet will, he becomes their servant. Lord Krishna does not know anything other than his devotees. In all universes, there is nothing he considers equal to his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. So yeah, I'll pause there for questions. Ranjit Prabhu.
Seems that seeing Krishna as all-powerful and Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu is all-powerful, what need is there of gatekeepers?
This comes up every class, it seems.
Seems like that's one question.
Yeah.
The other question is the attitude of Jai and Vijay. They were obviously large people, and these four little kids are running around.
Yeah.
And so why would they, you know, take so much umbrage at these little kids? It seems like little kids, they should play with them rather than the attitude. So these are my question and observation.
I'll answer the second question to my best of my ability, and I'll answer the first as well. It's another prelude to this pastime or reason why the curse was appropriate, and the reason why things ended up the way they did is previously, and I think this is alluded to in another verse later in this chapter, that the Lord, see, there were gatekeepers of the seventh gate of Vaikuntha, but there were also sometimes gatekeepers of the personal chambers of the Lord. You know, they were very intimate. They did gatekeeping service of different areas. But I mean, they sometimes interacted with the Lord within the bedroom as well, and so once the Lord instructed them, here, I'm going to take rest, you know, rest, the Lord rests in his own way, and please don't let anybody in. So they're his servants. They take their seva very, very seriously. So here they are guarding that personal chamber, and Lakshmi Devi comes, and they stand in front of the gate. Sorry, you cannot enter. She's, what are you talking about? This is my bedroom. This is Lord Narayan we're speaking about. I'm Lakshmi Devi. You're stopping me from entering? Lord's instructions. He said no one can enter the gate. They took it very, very seriously. And Lakshmi Devi was upset. And when she told Lord Narayan what to do, I mean, in one sense, this is a sticky situation. But he understands that I gave him the instruction and they followed it. So they had this understanding that whatever Lord Narayan tells us, we are the gatekeepers. We stop anyone from going in and under his direction, you see. So it's said actually that this curse was appropriate because it also pleased Lakshmi Devi, who was upset about the interaction. Did not curse, but felt like something had to be done.
So she didn't actually curse him, she thought about
Well, as far as I know, that the curse was not, there was no curse given by her, but there, she was upset and she spoke with Lord Narayan. So this is a backstory. Now, it shows that, however, Jai and Vijaya are very dedicated to their service, right? So if you think about it, if they didn't let in Lakshmi Devi, then perhaps them not letting in little children, it makes sense for them, right? They're very strong on who comes and who doesn't. So that gives a little bit of a clue of what their attitude is like and how they take their service. So that's my response to that question. And back to your first question, I was thinking about this. I think maybe Panchakota Prabhu, you asked this in a couple days ago in class, and I've heard it several times in some of the classes leading up. Why is it need the gatekeepers? You know, who are you keeping out? My answer is, why isn't there a need for gatekeepers? We have a gatekeeper. We have a chokidar in Krishna Balaram temple. There's here in Boma Vrindavan, we have a chokidar, a gatekeeper of a lord's palace here. And so why can't we have that in the spiritual world? That service exists here. That service should exist there too. So my response is a little bit challenging. Why not? Because if the service, I mean, everything exists so that there's interaction, loving exchange between the Lord and his devotee. And there's more variety and intimacy and purity in these interactions in the spiritual world. Yet, if these services exist here and we can serve the Lord in this way, surely there should be a post or a position where the devotees can express that loving relationship with the Lord there in Vaikuntha as well. Yes, Panchakota Prabhu had his hand first, then Varuna Prabhu.
How do you go?
Yeah.
So Hiranyakashipu was complaining that Vishnu is being partial, that he's siding with the demigods. And here he's saying that I would lop my arm off for my devotee. So it does seem that he is partial in the sense that he's willing to lop off his own arm for the benefit of his devotee. So when they speak about Krishna being, you know, doesn't have any friends, doesn't have enemies, doesn't consider one close to him or others far away from him, why is he making such an expression of loyalty to the devotees? Unless you serve me, you're not my friend, or I'm not going to protect you, so to speak.
Yeah, I sometimes struggle with that too. It's like, is he lying when he says he's not partial? But my understanding is that Krishna is reciprocal. Ye yata mam prapadyante. That's his law. He's bound by love. And the devotees relate with him with love. The non-devotees either relate with him ignorantly, so they ignore him, or they relate with him with enmity, right? So in a sense, yeah, he's impartial, but he's reciprocal, and he's bound by love. So if someone is relating to him with love, It's his own law. He states he has, that's his nature. He can't help but go towards those who love him. So that's my answer. It sort of answers it in a way. I mean, you can argue, but isn't reciprocity, isn't that being partial in a sense? But it also depends on the free will of the person, of the jiva, who's trying to reach back out to Krishna. I saw Varuna Prabhu's hand first, and then I'll go to this side and I'll come back to you.
The Bhagavad Gita confirms that by Krishna himself, he's saying that I'm not partial to anyone, I'm not favorable, I'm equal to all. However, one who renders service to me in devotion, he is a friend to me, and I am also a friend to him.
Yeah, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
It was touched in the purport, and then you also briefly touched it about designations.
Uh-huh.
And so we have, you know, like, we ourselves see the designations. Like, for example, we'll say, okay, this devotee is from the Western culture, and this devotee is from the Eastern culture.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just to let you know, I'm from the Eastern culture. Just for your information.
Got it.
Got it?
Got it.
Okay. But so Krishna doesn't see that as long as one surrenders and comes to him.
Yeah.
So when once someone approaches him, then Krishna, to him, it doesn't matter whether you're man, woman,
mm-hmm.
Eastern, Western, it doesn't matter. But yet we as his devotees do see that.
Mm-hmm.
We discriminate that. And I don't think it's right, but in our general dealings, sometimes we mm-hmm. act like that till we become mm-hmm. more advanced. So what mm-hmm. is the solution, or what is how we can go past that?
Yeah. Well, from the human point of view, it's... I mean, we probably wouldn't be in a human body if we had already were self-realized and saw everyone with Samadarshina and saw them as... saw ourselves as spirit souls and everybody else. So the fact that we are in a human body is that there's the human tendency to see differences based off the body, because being in a human body, it's because we identify with to some degree. If everyone is identifying to some degree, we have to be able to relate with each other on a bodily platform. I really feel that that's part of the process of Krishna consciousness. And if you hear devotees speak about their interactions with Srila Prabhupada, it's almost like a common thread every time, is that Srila Prabhupada saw me, it's almost like he saw through me as a spirit soul, not on a bodily platform. But on our day-to-day dealings, we have to, and there's a spectrum of that where if we deal so much on the bodily platform, we start discriminating, segregating, putting ones higher, lower, just like here, Brahmana, Chandala, you know, it's on an absolute platform, purification doesn't come, it comes through bhakti. And I feel the only answer I could really, really give is this first sentence back to the purport. Real purification can take place in human society if its members take to Krishna consciousness. And part of the process of Krishna consciousness is, I mean, it says here, as long as a person is in this material world, he has two different relationships in his dealings with others. One relationship pertains to the body, and the other pertains to the spirit. As far as bodily affairs or social activities are concerned, although a person is purified on the spiritual platform, it sometimes seems that he acts in terms of his body relationships. So saying, even if a chandala acts like a chandala a little, but he's a Vaishnava, we have to understand that he is a Vaishnava. And it's very difficult, but that's the purification process that is the process of self-realization. Yes?
So basically you're saying that we have one track, you know, we're in this material world and we're relating to other persons in that capacity. But on the other side, we should have a track where we're seeing him as a spiritual being.
Yeah, it has to be genuine and real, and that comes, that it can't be fake, so to say, now I see everyone as equal and I'm going to treat everyone as equal and everything. Yeah, Hari Bol, but you have to be a little bit, you know, it comes naturally as you become self-realized, is my understanding. And that's the Krishna conscious process. But of course, we can't ignore that there is differences based on culture, based on background, birth, age, all these kinds of things. I want to see if there's any questions on this side. I'll come back to you, Prabhu. Anybody here? Yeah. I wanted to go to this side first, and I'll come back to you. Yeah. No, I just want to give opportunity to everybody. Shall I grant Prabhu, please?
What comes to mind is the Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, saying how to interact with the Vaishnava. There's three different ways to interact with the Vaishnava. Mm-hmm. One who's not as fortunate as you are, one who's equal, and one who's more advanced. Mm-hmm. So that's what came to mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And I think that's interesting you bring that up, because it ties in with this sort of nuanced situation of Jaya and Vijaya and the Kumaras. Because, you know, there's the Kumaras feel like I am more senior, yet I'm being treated in such a way. Jaya and Vijaya are feeling like, but my position is such and such, and that I'm able to say, you can enter and you can't enter. So it's a very important principle to keep in mind when dealing with devotees. Thank you. Varanda Prabhu. You sure? Okay. Anybody else? I apologize. I'm sorry. I understand. The reason I didn't ask you directly is I like to go to the men's side and the ladies' side and the men's side and the ladies' side. Often we do men, and then ladies, but I feel it's nice because it gives an opportunity that goes back and forth. So it wasn't to slight you in any way. I really apologize. And I would like to hear what your comment and question is, if you don't mind sharing. Okay. I apologize. Anybody else from anywhere in the room? Okay. Granthirashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.